His name is William Buhlman. He's one of America's leading experts on the subject of out-of-body experiences and an expert in numerous OBE and past life regression techniques from the shamanistic to the modern. William is a certified hypnotherapist and conducts workshops and lectures exploring the profound nature of out-of-body experiences and the benefits of accelerated personal development. Now, he's conducting the world's largest survey on the out-of-body experience. You might be able to help. And the 16,000 responses have yielded amazing conclusions. He's convinced that from this data that the majority of alien abduction scenarios are actually misinterpreted OBE experiences. He's appeared on numerous television and radio shows nationwide, currently writing a book and a screenplay concerning out-of-body exploration. In addition, William is the author, as I mentioned, of Adventures Beyond the Body and The Secret of the Soul. Currently, he is traveling throughout the world, conducting lectures and workshops on the subject. Our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Hello, William. How are you?
Hello, George. How you doing?
Good. Pleasure to have you on the program tonight. Did you start off as a hypnotherapist, or did you get involved in the OBEs first?
Oh, I definitely got involved in the OBEs first. Way back in 1972, I had my first one, and that's what got me completely hooked on the topic.
I had one when I was 11 years old, William, and I've never been able to duplicate it ever again. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've tried. It doesn't happen. Does that occur with some people?
Well, you're more open, in generally speaking, you're more open when you're younger. You haven't been conditioned to believe that you're a physical being or a physical body yet. But there are a lot of techniques that you can learn to actually self-induce the experience. But it takes a little bit of training, and generally 30 days most people can have an experience if they're willing to dedicate their time to it.
Is it almost like exercising?
Well, it's like meditation. It's like many people throughout the world meditate for 30 minutes, and OBE techniques are actually very similar. They're very easy to learn and very easy to do, and a lot of people do them just as they're about to go to bed or before they take a nap.
Now, this survey that you've conducted, 16,000 responses, tell me what some of the methodology of the questions.
Well, what I did, in my first book, Adventures Beyond the Body, I put a survey in the book, and then when I started my website back in 96, I put some of the questions on the web, thinking, you know, I'll get a couple hundred responses. And some of the questions were revolving around the vibrational state. In other words, phenomena that people may experience as a prelude to an out-of-body experience. For instance, questions like, have you ever experienced heavy vibrations or humming, buzzing sounds. In other words, there were 13 questions that I initially asked because I wanted to keep it simple. And especially on the internet, I started to receive an incredible amount of responses from all over the world. And that's what the survey is based on. It's an open-ended response, so people could be as detailed as they choose to be.
And did you see a lot of similarities with the responses?
Oh, it was amazing, George. I mean, the similarities were overwhelming. It was much more than I anticipated. People all around the world are having the same type of experiences. They may look at it differently based on their religious beliefs, but the same type of things are occurring. For instance, sleep paralysis, where you just wake up and it scares the heck out of people.
Right.
You just can't move, but you know you're conscious, but you can't move your body. That's one of the indications of a out-of-body experience.
Did anybody in this survey, I'm just curious, ever talk about the old hag syndrome as it relates to sleep paralysis?
Oh, they sure did. Many people talk about it. It feels like somebody's sitting on your chest.
And some people even see this lady.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And it's been recorded all through written history for the last 2,000 years, all the way back to the Egyptian era, that people experience this entity of some kind. Some people actually report it as a dog or an animal. Some people record it as a woman. And that's where it comes from. There was many, especially during the Middle Ages, there was a lot of reports of a woman actually being on somebody's chest. And, of course, it scared the living heck out of people.
Oh, absolutely. Is that possible that they are actually seeing this kind of entity, or is there something physically wrong with them?
No, I don't think there's anything physically wrong with them. It's a matter of our interpretation of an experience that we're frightened by, I feel. I've had that experience myself, and so have other people that I know. I've had an experience where there was a dog sitting on my chest, or it felt like. Let me clarify this by saying it felt like a dog was actually on my chest. And, of course, it really wasn't. But my mind interpreted as that.
I mean, did you visualize a dog? I mean, how do you know that?
At a glimpse, I just saw what I thought was a dog. I interpreted as a dog.
Okay.
It was a restriction, let's say, of my ability to move upward during my experience.
Okay. Millions of people around this planet are experiencing what they call alien abductions. We've had people on this program before, William, who have been experts in this phenomenon. John Mack, who's no longer with us, was devoting his career to this. Bud Hopkins does. David Jacobs does.
Right.
Now, are you saying that alien abductions do not occur, or are you saying they're all misinterpreted as OBEs? What are they?
Well, I'm not saying I believe that there are such things as abductions. I'm very open-minded. I've spoken at several of the large UFO conferences about this topic in detail. And based on my experience, let me clarify. I've received hundreds of letters from people that were describing their abduction phenomena. And when you compare the notes, and a good example of this is John Mack's work, which I draw on in one of my books. John Mack goes into detail about the phenomena associated with an alien abduction. What I found remarkable is that the same type of phenomena also exists in OBEs. In other words, paralysis, heavy electrical sounds, floating sensations, moving through a wall, being moved to a new location, let's say, seeing a strange being by your bed or being moved to a strange environment, having been touched or what people consider to be probed. All of these things occur during an OBE, or some element of that can occur during an OBE. And there was a direct comparison between the two, and even John Mack related that in his work, in his book, Abduction. But there is definite. 200 experiences were sent to me, and if you took out the word abduction, I could not tell the difference between the abduction phenomena and the OBE experience.
Well, if you believe in OBEs, and I know you do, and I do, but you have to then believe of the spirit world or this other dimension or whatever it might be, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's many dimensions, many, many. I refer to it as a multidimensional universe. Which, of course, that's what the biblical texts have written about, this whole concept of heaven and hell and purgatory. What are these but other dimensions?
Do you think if people can start to understand and grasp the fact that this dimension, these other worlds, somehow were created first in this universe, and that it is a natural part of existence, it's supposed to be, they'd have a better understanding of what this is all about?
Oh, absolutely. There is no doubt from my I've had out of body experiences now for 34 years, and there's no doubt in my mind that the other dimensions that existed before the physical. The physical is like the epidermis layer of the universe. It was probably the last incarnation of life in reality. There's many, many forms of reality. There's many dimensions of reality, and this world that we're so focused upon is one of just actually a very small segment of the universe itself. And this explains also a lot of the psychic phenomena, this whole idea of ghosts and poltergeists and all this, these things that people find mysterious. It all relates directly to the multidimensional universe. Nobody's dead. They're just vibrating at another, let's just say a different frequency.
Well, and you said that there are other levels, other planes. How many are we talking about?
I don't know. To be quite honest, I don't know. I know there's a lot of people out there that are quick to say, oh, there's 7 and 5 and 11.
Yeah.
I speak from what I know about. I have experienced four that I felt were distinct vibrational levels of existence. And that's based on my experience.
All right. Well, regardless of the levels, whether there's 2, 4, or 10, or 15, what are the levels for? What's their reason for it?
I think different levels of consciousness exist in their own basically, different levels of consciousness or evolution exist within their own consensus reality. In other words, as we evolve, we move into more, let's just say, elegant states of consciousness or existence, less form-based. One thing that I've noticed is as you moved inward, because we're really in the outer edges of the universe.
Right.
As you move inward, an out-of-body experience is a misnomer. It should be called basically a in-the-body experience. You're going inward. An out-of-body experience is actually a transition going inward into your finer vibrational body. And in doing so, you're moving to a more, less dense reality. And within, past that dimension, there's another dimension that's even less dense or less matter-based. That's the best way to describe it. But all of these dimensions exist in and of themselves, independent of one another.
I went this weekend and I saw the movie Constantine, and I saw the different levels of what heaven could be and what hell could be in this movie. And I came away from that movie, William, saying to myself, I wonder if this is also what it's like with these various planes of existence and consciousness that you're talking about. Are there levels that start off maybe the lowest level, which one could call hell, and then they just tend to get a little better as you go up? And maybe there are planes of existence where these bad entities are hanging out, and you got to go through that somehow, and then the higher up you get, the more enlightened it gets? Does that happen?
Well, I think in a way it's very much a Buddhist viewpoint. I don't believe in heaven and hell per se. I believe that they're based on my experience, and I should strike the word believe. I know from my own experience that there are definite realities that exist, and they're consensus realities where like attracts like. And we will be, let's just say we're drawn to those that are similar to us in evolution and vibrational rate. So this concept of, I do believe there is a progression, so to speak, and that the universe is expansive and elegant in its design. So I do believe that there's many, many dimensions of reality and that we can experience them. But what's exciting, George, is that people can, instead of making this into a theory, people with out-of-body exploration, people can do this for themselves and discover and explore for themselves and finally go beyond theory and speculation. That's what makes this whole topic so exciting.
If one is successful in getting an OBE, where can you go? And just, I guess, Bill, if you could for us, kind of explain to us what happens when you have one, where you go, what the whole process is.
Well, that's a big question because everyone's different. Remember, what you experience is based on your state of consciousness.
Okay.
But typically, people will experience, number one, they will enter into often, 85% of people, according to my research, will have a vibrational state experience. Prelude to the experience will be sleep paralysis, heavy, maybe vibrations, buzzing, humming sounds, and then they will begin to separate. It doesn't mean they float up. They may just roll out of their body.
Okay.
And then most people will experience a physical-like duplicate of their body because that is their mindset. They have created the energy body for themselves with their own self-conception. Most people will experience this, let's just say, people consider an astral body. And in that body, they have the freedom to go wherever their mind chooses to go. There are no limitations except what people place upon themselves. And that's really true. But the average person, of course, is form-based, so they will, most people, stick around their own environment that they're familiar with.
Some people have reported bouncing against the ceiling of their bedroom, for example.
It's very common.
Yeah.
it's actually can be quite funny, too. I've done that myself.
And then others seem to go through the ceiling, and they say, I got higher and higher, and the house was smaller. Can they actually go to the moon, go to Mars, go beyond our solar system?
Absolutely. If you're willing to accept your own ability to do so, you can. But it's up to you.
Are you kind of like outside looking in? Is it that kind of feeling? I mean, are these events that you, in an OBE, let's say you somehow get to the moon, are you looking at the moon in real time, or is it in another dimension or something like that?
Well, remember, the moon exists also in multiple dimensions, just like the Earth does. When you leave your body, you are not experiencing the physical moon. You're experiencing the energy duplicate of the moon.
Okay, all right.
And that's what confuses many people.
Yes, yes.
The same thing when you leave your body. People say, well, I don't know if it was real because my environment wasn't quite the same. Of course it's not the same, because you're not experiencing Earth. You're not experiencing physical reality anymore. You have raised your vibrational rate, and now you're experiencing the let's just say, the energy substructure of matter.
Well, so if I wanted to do an OBE, let's say, and go see the lunar modules that were left on the moon, I couldn't do that, right?
Well, not necessarily, because they may also exist on the astral or the, let's just say, the substructure. The energy substructure, you may be able to witness that. I have never done that myself, but I don't see why you couldn't. Remember, everything is multidimensional. So those lunar modules also exist in an energy form that we can't see.
Sure.
So there's no reason you couldn't observe them, but you wouldn't be observing matter anymore.
But this is not then to be confused with remote viewing, which is using your mind to find out things either in the future or in real time, for example. It's not like I can remote view and go to some restaurant and see all the people there having dinner.
Oh, remote viewing is directly related to OBEs, but it's not the same event.
But it's not the same, okay.
Back in the 70s, it was considered mind travel or mind projection. Of course, now they have a new term, technical remote viewing, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing that we talked about 30 years ago. People did it all the time. No, OBEs are much more stark. They're much more exciting. To me, they're much more exciting because you feel you are consciously present. You're no longer just the observer. You're the participant. And it makes a huge difference in your perception of reality.
Years ago, I read that in an OBE, the body is connected to the astral body via some kind of cord. Is that true? Do you see that cord when you're in an OBE?
I have seen it, and I've written about this on several occasions. I've seen the cord on animals, and I've felt it myself on me, and I've seen it on others. Now, you don't always see it because it depends on your vibrational state. I experienced it on myself as emanating, and I know there's some... Some people feel different about this, but I have experienced it on myself to be about an inch in diameter and emanating from my back,
and apparently,
my higher back, and it was not just one strand, it was many.
And you could go out as far as you wanted to go, and it would never break, right?
I don't feel that that's possible to break now.
It just stretches.
And remember, this is just, I feel strongly from my experience that this is strictly a connection to your denser, what people consider to be their astral body. And I hate to use that term, but that's really how it's perceived.
When we come back, let's talk about some new information you've worked on and uncovered: combat childbirth surgery-induced OBEs. A lot of people have said that they were getting operated on, and they look down and they see what their doctor's doing to them, and then they tell their doctor some things that he said, for example, during the operation. The doctor's amazed. William, let's talk, if we can, about new information on combat childbirth and surgery-induced OBEs. This seems to be happening a lot lately, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a matter of fact, I'm getting more and more reports about this on a regular basis. One of the ones that it's especially come to my attention was, of course, the childbirth phenomena. Many women including my own mother-in-law, reports that she floated above her body during childbirth. And, of course, back then, you know, nobody talked about this kind of stuff. And it isn't just in the last 5 years, really, that people come out and started discussing these topics openly. But this is very common. People, especially with an epidural or what's considered a saddle block, women experience sensations of actually observing their own child's birth from above. And I have received hundreds of letters from women who describe this in detail that's just remarkable. And often they even comment in the letter that, oh, I couldn't tell anybody about this because I sounded like everybody assumed I was high, but I could describe exactly what the doctors were doing, how it went down, and sometimes they were conscious, sometimes they weren't. I mean, as far as fully conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable. I mean, this kind of thing's happening on a regular basis, and it's about time people became more and more aware of it because it provides evidence of their own survival after death.
I think it was in England where they did a study of patients who had this induced OBEs, and they interviewed them afterwards, and they talked about what the doctor was saying, things that they saw in the operating room on the wall, for example, that they didn't see when they were wheeled in there under anesthesia, and it was remarkable, and that convinced a lot of people in England that this is indeed happening.
Oh, absolutely. There's doctors more and more. I have received I would say at least 50 letters, even from doctors over the years, because I've been exploring this for many, many years now. And even they have written to me and attended workshops and amazed at some of the results that they've heard from patients that describe, in an operation, they'll describe the operation in detail, what was said, what was done. As a matter of fact, one comment about one of the doctors or one of the nurses comment about the patient being fat, and when the person come out, yeah, and she was above her body watching everything, and she was quite offended by it all.
She came
and
back.
She was totally out. This was a major operation, but she watched it from above, looking down at the doctors performing this operation. And when she come to after the operation, boy, did she laid into the nurse
yeah.
or the doctor about how dare you call me fat.
I love it. And probably for a moment the doctors are saying, maybe she wasn't knocked out enough.
Yeah, well, that's probably.
That's funny.
The real power of this, George, though, is that people have an opportunity to finally prove to themselves their own immortality. They have an opportunity to explore, let's just say, their own, call it soul or their, however, consciousness, and prove to themselves that they continue beyond death, and even way more beyond that. They can find out some of the answers to their existence, like where did we come from? Where are we gone? What's my purpose here? A lot of people relate profound experiences during OBEs.
Do you believe the OBE is the exact same thing that occurs when a person physically dies? When that soul leaves the body, it's the same as an OBE? Maybe a different plane, different dimension, but it's the same technique?
I think it's the same process. It's a separation of consciousness from the body is what an OBE is, and that's what happens at death. Now, of course, at death, it's a permanent leaving, let's say, but it's the same process. It's literally a separation of consciousness from the body. That's one of the advantages of knowing about this topic, so that you're more prepared. I write about this in Secret of the Soul, about how the Buddhists prepared people for death by training them on what happens during the separation process. That's what the whole Book of the Dead is about. People were much more in tune with the reality. Instead of being afraid of this process, this natural process, they actually were more informed about it. And that's the way that we should become more and more empowered by this natural process of separation. Because it's going to happen anyway. Most people will sometime in their life have an out-of-body experience.
If they are having this experience, William, and they're on these different planes and these different levels, Is it dangerous for them? Is it possible that these entities that are on the outside can possess the body while the actual astral body is out?
Well, then why don't they do it when we're asleep? I mean, I've heard this before on many occasions, and I feel strongly that we are protected in much more than we're aware of. Number one, we're each connected by our silver cord, but right. We're also protected by a guide or guides. And I have never felt threatened. I mean, I must admit I've had times where I was shocked and surprised by events that happened because I was uneducated about what to expect. And it took me, my God, 3 decades of experience to start to get a handle on some of this stuff. But I'm telling you that we're much safer than many people feel. Now, if you are fear-based, now this is one thing I have found from my study. If you have bought into this concept that there's demons running loose everywhere and they're about to pounce on you, you are not the person to explore self-initiated OBEs.
Why? Do you create it?
Because you will manifest it. You remember, it's your own fears being manifested. And this is very powerful, because that's exactly what happens to people. Because people are afraid of the unknown. And certain people will absolutely create their own fears and manifest them before them in whatever form that they feel. This also applies to alien abduction phenomena. If we live in a culture absolutely saturated with alien abduction and aliens and this and that, and there are all kinds of them out there, don't you think that has an impact on your subconscious mind when you go into an altered state and leave your body?
No question about it.
It certainly would. It would affect the way that you view reality, because everyone is looking through rose-colored glasses of your mind. So that's why it's good to get accurate information about this topic and other topics.
Okay, but in the 34 years that you've had OBEs, and I have to imagine it's the hundreds if not the thousands, have you ever had any entities or that feeling that entities were trying to grab you or anything as you were going through these different levels?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I absolutely have. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But I also feel that on most occasions it was my own fear I had to fight. I once confronted a giant sloth in one of my experiences.
Okay, so what about this? That these entities are real, these entities are there, but as long as you don't demonstrate fear or whatever this negativity might be, you're okay.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, you do more than that. You become proactive. You send, and I know this sounds a little bit simplistic, but you send positive energy towards that negative energy. You send, and I hate to use the word love, but it works.
It's positive.
Energy. It's a matter of positive energy dissipating a negative formation of energy. And it's all energy we're talking about here. It's not about demons or aliens. It's energy that's manifesting to fit your, let's say, mental mold that you have created. And that's exactly the way the universe works. Remember, we're dealing with a substructure of matter, the energy substructure. That's what makes it so fascinating. And we are molding that substructure. Now, I'm not saying there isn't consensus realities. I don't want to confuse anyone here, because I write extensively about consensus realities and non-consensus realities. In other words, energy dimensions that we can form and shape, and others that we do not. But most of the time, people will experience their own energies.
Well,
just
you know,
like we do in the physical world.
The negative energy that some people give off then has got to be so devastating, so disruptive to whatever is happening to them, that they have to learn how to send out this positive energy or they could be doomed.
Well, not doomed, but they certainly are. Just like in the physical world, we create our own drama. We create our own lessons in the physical world. We do the same when we're out of body. And that's what many people don't seem to get. They don't understand that they are the creators of their life. They create their reality with the power of their thoughts. Now, granted, in the physical world, it may take 20 years to manifest. But in the astral world, it's instantaneous, And that's what people have a difficult time understanding, because they're not used to seeing their own creative power manifesting before them, because we're dealing with a much subtler form of energy, and thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts create everything around us. It just takes longer in matter to manifest.
What was the old show once that I saw where if, as a matter of fact, it was another Twilight Zone. It was a little boy who wished kids into the cornfields. I think Billy Mummy played it. That's his pronunciation. I used to pronounce his name Mummy, but I've been told he, M-U-M-Y, it's pronounced Mummy. But he would, through his thoughts, think evil things, and things like that would happen to people. I've always wondered, William, that if people had an ability just through their thoughts of making things happen, how difficult would it be to control those thoughts? Because I think everybody, in at least once in their life, has been so angry at someone. They thought to themselves, God, I'm going to kill you, or something bizarre. They never would do it, and they don't mean it. But if your thoughts could do it, I think a lot of bad things could happen on this planet.
Well, a lot of bad things do happen on this planet, specifically because of that. Remember, we are creating, we are projecting our consciousness out there as an individual and as a nation. And these thoughts definitely have an impact and come back to us in kind. I really feel strongly that, because I've seen this. For instance, one time I've left my body. Matter of fact, on a couple times, I've actually seen my future being created on the astral plane. I have seen things that I, at the time, I didn't understand. It only until later I realized, and then they manifested in my physical life. And this is what the psychic phenomena is. Psychics tapping in to that energy field. They're not necessarily leaving their body and seeing it, but they are feeling it or sensing it. Same thing. We are creating our reality on the astral plane right this second by the way that we focus our thought energy. And this eventually, with enough focused thought is upon the astral or this energy, it eventually will manifest in the physical world.
How does that affect it if you're not feeling well, or you know, you're sick, you've got an illness or disease?
You know, surprisingly, I'm glad you brought that up. Many people, including myself, have actually more experiences when they're sick. It's not the negative in this kind of, as you would imagine. Many people actually have increased activity or out-of-body experiences during times of illness. And as many, I don't know exactly why.
Well, you know, you're right. When I was 11 years old, and the only OBE I've ever had, I stayed home from school because I was sick. I had a fever, and that's when it happened. That's the only time it's ever happened.
There is a correlation there, and it's a strong correlation. I have received just incredible amount of stories related to similar stories. In other words, people would it doesn't have to be a serious illness. It may just be strep throat or something like that, and suddenly they have an out-of-body experience. You know what's remarkable, George, is that lately, and I'd go into this in workshops, people actually have written to me that they've healed themselves and others while out-of-body by projecting healing energy.
I believe that.
And because, remember, it's all energy. The physical is just the outer result of energy. So imagine if you could go to the source of the illness and modify that energy. This is exactly what shamans have been doing for 5,000 years. They go to the source, the energy source, that's causing the physical disability or illness, and they readjust it energetically, and then a healing suddenly manifests. They still, today, I've been to Peru and actually participated in many of these healing ceremonies where this is actually done. It's remarkable. And these shaman have been going out of body for thousands of years and practicing this. And to them, it's part of their culture. It's just the norm.
When you're having OBEs, do you sometimes come across, have you ever come across people that you've loved who have departed?
Yes, on many, many occasions. And it's quite normal, by the way. The most common person that I have run into over the years is my mother, who passed away approximately 19 years ago. She, her and I have had multiple, many, many contacts together, which are fascinating. And also I've met my uncle, I've met a dog that had died, who was still in the astral plane, and of course very attached to, still very close to me, which, by the way, people report this very commonly. Their pets will be cats, dogs will be hanging around them.
So that does happen.
Yes, indeed. They don't leave. Because remember, they're on another plane of existence, but so are you. Let's just use a cat as an example. The cat who died is still hanging around its master, its friend. But they're still looking at you on the astral plane. They're still interacting with you on the astral plane. You may not be aware of it physically unless you have some, let's just say you're open or a little bit psychic and you start to feel the animal's presence. But I've heard, oh my God, so many stories about people having their pets are jumping on the bed.
They see cat prints, but no cat.
Right, or dog prints and no dog. This is so common, it's unbelievable. You know, books could be written about it. It's almost, you know, common phenomenon.
When I open up the phones, because you've done research with 16,000 people already, anything specific you'd like callers to call you about when we get to that? And not next hour, but the hour after that?
Well, I'd like for people that are interested to go to the my website and participate in the survey. It only takes a few minutes. Number one, it's outofbody.com. And actually do the survey. That would help.
Astralinfo.org
or outofbody.com, and it's on. It's, of course, it's posted on coast to coast.
Right, absolutely. Okay, that's good. And because I know a lot of people will be sharing some animal stories with you and everyone else. These dearly departed loved one stories, though, just amazing stories of how they're there to help you. And a lot of this, because almost dying and OBEs are very similar, it seems that these loved ones try to get their friends back and the people they care about, the ones who've departed, back into their body. It's almost like they always tell them, your time's not up yet. Go back.
Well, sometimes that happens, but it's also very common that people do contact. For instance, my mother contacted me the day of her death and then 3 days after her death during an out-of-body experience. I mean, it was, and this is very common, by the way. According to research done by Raymond Moody, I think it was 72% of people have some kind of contact with a loved one who has passed on within the first week. It's amazing, and that's the same. I have evidence that supports that. Same people are having these contact experiences. You may hear a voice. It may not be. You may not think of this as an OBE, but it is, because you hear a voice. But you're hearing the voice necessarily not physically. You're laying in bed. You may be unable to move. And you can see through your closed eyelids. This is all part of an OBE. But people don't relate to it yet because they don't have enough knowledge about the topic.
So you live in Shanghai. We'll talk about that a little bit later on tonight, by the way. How long have you been out there?
Oh, just over a year now.
Okay. That's got to be a different experience, huh?
It sure is.
Let's go back to the pets. A lot of people love their animals, and they don't know what happens to the animal, William, when it dies. Tell us.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that you know, this whole theory that pets don't have souls is just ludicrous and false. There's many people, including myself, have actually seen pets, or let's just say souls that are taking the form of animals while they're out of body. It's very common. Matter of fact, I've had, not only have I had my pets in the past follow me when out of body, but other people have reported the same phenomena. And this is very commonly reported. I don't even know where it come from originally, this idea that only humans have are evolved enough to have a soul, but that is such a false belief system. By the way, many of the other religions do not buy into that. Hinduism, of course, mm-hmm. does not buy into that, neither does Buddhism.
At what point, though, how low do you go on the pecking order in terms of souls? I mean, could you say an ant has one, too? A butterfly? I mean, do they all have souls? They're alive.
Exactly. I have found that everything has, if the word soul may be overused, but everything has a form of consciousness behind it, or it could not exist. And that appears to continue to exist, even when the physical manifestation is gone. Because remember, the physical body is just a vehicle. And it doesn't matter what it's the consciousness behind the vehicle that's important. You know, in our society, we're so obsessed with the form that we see around us, and we lose track of what's really important. It's the evolution of consciousness through the form. And that's, of course, why we all are here. We're evolving by the use of these vehicles that our bodies, through our actions and interactions. And the same applies in the animal kingdom. Now, it may be a different form of evolution than we can comprehend, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
And generally, these animals probably don't suffer from the things we do. They don't have negativity. They don't have... I don't know. I guess, can you have an evil animal? I guess you could. Couldn't you?
Well, I don't really believe in evil, so to speak. I know many people do. I have found that it's just there's lessons to be learned. And unfortunately, due to humanity's state of consciousness, a lot of times the lessons that are learned are created by conflict. And, for instance, war is really just a learning tool of consciousness or soul. And I know it's hard for some people to buy, but that there's a purpose behind things that happen. It isn't just thrown out there.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to come at you on this one. I mean, serial killers, you talked about them last night. These guys are pure evil as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I know. I know it is. They're definitely sick. And I have no... You're right. That would probably be the closest. It's like Hitler. Everybody brings up that scenario.
Yep.
I mean, if there's anybody that's the personification of evil, it would probably be him on a massive scale.
I see. I don't think you would see Hitler's soul along the line that you would go on when you're in an OBE, for example.
No.
There's got to be a place for people like
absolutely.
That.
And that's where I think, of course, the term of hell or purgatory come from. These beings, such as Hitler or Himmler and all these other people, they obviously continue, though. But they continue in a state of consciousness that is something that we wouldn't want to experience. I've never been to a place like that to know. And I try to base my books and my research on experiences, not conjecture. But they definitely, I feel that everyone continues. And they definitely continue in their own state. And I would imagine it would be a very... it would be a terrible state.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. You're going to teach us a little bit about how to do an OBE a little bit later on, I hope?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
And, of course, with the... Now, what's the new book you're working on? Is this one going to be turned into a movie?
Well, I've been working on a... my last book, of course, was Secret of the Soul. And the book that I've been working on now is a novel about a person who is in a coma and has out-of-body experiences during the coma.
Now, when you have yours, can you do it at will now?
I can induce the experiences. Like everyone, it's not 100%. I don't know anybody that's 100%. Everybody has to work at it. That's what's exciting about this, George, is that this is something that you can prove to yourself. You know, a lot of listeners are out there saying, oh, my God, what a bunch of baloney this is. But this is one of the few topics that you will have on your show that people can actually prove it to themselves. You know, you can't necessarily, the average listener may not ever see an alien or be abducted or any of many of the topics that you cover, but they can all have their own self-initiated OBE and prove this to themselves. And they can do it by doing simple techniques, and like you would every night before going to bed. Take 20 minutes and do a simple technique and have this remarkable experience for yourself and stop just speculating about it.
All right, since you brought it up, why don't you give us a few?
Well, there's many, many techniques, and the reason, of course, there's many, because different people have different key points. For instance, some people, let me share a couple of them with you that's very simple and quick.
Okay.
One of them is affirmations. It's probably one of the easiest ones that people can do, because I know people, it's hard to invest a lot of time and energy into this or any topic. you just simply do affirmations, similar like, now I'm out of body. You can write them before you go to bed, and then you hold that affirmation as your last conscious thought as you're about to take a nap or go to sleep. And you do this every night. The key in this, of course, is to try to maintain your affirmation. And again, I have a list of different kinds of affirmations.
Does it matter what they are?
Yes, it does.
How come?
You always say now, because the subconscious mind only accepts now as a reality.
All right.
That's very important. Now I have an out-of-body experience, or now I separate from my body, or however, whatever you're comfortable with. But the key is to do it and hold it as your last conscious thought. And what you're doing, you're programming yourself to be open to these experiences. Now, what's amazing is that people will go through, you do something simple like this. And, of course, I write about 40 different techniques. This is probably the easiest one. And there's a progression of things that will occur. For instance, people typically report that their dream life becomes more vivid, maybe the first week. Suddenly they recall their dreams better. Maybe they're having a dream with their deceased mother or a deceased pet. And then as they progress, the dreams become even more lucid. And then maybe by the third or fourth week, that's when they start to hit the vibrational state. And they'll start to feel a numbness or humming sound or sleep paralysis or their name being called in the middle of the night. All of these things, for many people, it's a gradual progression of events, and they're all related. And many people don't understand this. Many of your listeners probably don't. They're already having experiences. They may be a prelude to this, but since they don't know, they just say, oh, well, that was nothing. That was just a dream. My God, I have known many people have told me that their mothers have talked to them, and they thought, oh, it was just a dream. I don't think so. I would pay more attention to it. Write down your dreams. Pay attention to them. But as you do this technique, you become more and more open. And eventually you get to the point, and I like to tell the audience this, that it took me 4 weeks to have my first experience.
Well, to me that's fast, considering I've been trying since I was 11. But you know what? I never did an affirmation, ever. Maybe that's my first step that I'm doing wrong.
Well, it's just one simple technique, very simple. Now, if you're visual, for instance, there's visual techniques where you can imagine yourself, let's say, walking to from your bedroom to your living room, and you do that. You imagine yourself being there, touching the couch, feeling feeling the doorknob of your front door,
mm-hmm.
and you imagine yourself going to the front door as you're about to fall asleep. This is another technique where you actually begin to think your way there. Now, in the beginning, it's strictly an energy exercise. It's an imaginative exercise. And many people say, well, that doesn't prove anything. Of course it doesn't. The point is you're beginning to condition yourself. And many people, including myself, I had my first OBE back in 72 by doing that simple technique of just imagining objects in my mother's house. And I went, and in my mind, I touched them. And by the fourth week, I had my first experience. It blew me away because I awoken and I put my hand right into the wall. And then I sat up. And
is it a fast experience? Because I guess people panic in some cases, right?
Many see, that's the problem here, George. Because of the lack of true knowledge and information, most people that I get incredible mail from people, and they're all freaking out because no one has told them what to expect. They have all these strange phenomena happening. They start to get, see, people expect they're all going to float up like Tinkerbell, and that's not the way it happens.
Well, and that's exactly what I would have thought, too.
Over 50% of the times, you sink through the floor.
Well, let me ask you this question. When you go to sleep and you feel this, right before you sleep, you wake up again with a jarring effect. I mean, it's just like somebody threw you out of the bed. Is that your astral body coming back into the physical body?
Absolutely. That's a reconnect.
That's what I thought.
It's a jolt. Because when you sleep, and I've seen this, when people sleep, everyone leaves their body. Sleep is a process of separating from the body. And I don't mean floating up at the ceiling. You're out of sync with the body. You're floating out of phase with it, maybe an inch or two. you can, I've witnessed this. And what you're doing is, in a sense, recharging. You're actually like recharging that body. And everyone, every night, when they fall to sleep, they're floating about 2 inches out of sync with their body, their astral body is. And again, I hate that word, most people are familiar with it, the astral body. And when this jolt happens, you're actually just reconnecting abruptly with the physical. And it feels like you just fell about 10 feet, but you've actually just reconnected maybe an inch or two back into the physical.
But what a jolt it is.
It is a jolt. And most people, according to my survey, 98% of people have experienced this.
Wow.
So it's a pretty significant percentage.
And I always thought that's what it was. Always. Did you study OBE books and things as you were learning? I remember reading Robert Monroe's book and Robert Crickall and Sylvan Muldoon, Hayward Carrington, all these old ones. I'd go to the library and dig up some old stuff. I just fascinated with it.
Yeah, so was I. I think I've read just about everything that was available back then. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of good how-to information. There wasn't a lot of good information about the vibrational state, which is very important to know about, especially at the beginning, because that's what freaks people out. You know, these vibrations and sounds.
Yes.
And paralysis is what scares the living heck out of people. I have had many of people tell me that they thought they were being, there was demons coming after them. And that's all they were really experiencing is the vibrational state. But they don't know any different. They all, you know, we go to the negative immediately. And this is very common. I did explore a lot of these. But what I found is that there was a real lack of real information. Everybody's experiences are their own. And people's experiences are not necessarily the same. And remember, if you have a hang-up, let's just say whatever it may be, if you have some kind of psychological hang-up, it will show up in your OBE. And that's what a lot of people don't seem to get. When these guys had problems, for instance, Monroe had certain problems that he encountered, he was encountering his own psyche. Hmm. For instance, that the plane coming down on the, I'm just using one analogy, trying to land a plane on the top of a building and crashing. That was his analogy because he was a pilot.
Right, right.
I've had the same scenario with a giant sloth that I confronted. But I was confronting my own fear. Robert Monroe confronted his own fear by landing a plane on the top of a building. I confronted my fear by confronting a giant sloth.
Isn't it normal for us to have these fears?
Yes. Everybody has them. That's what we're working on. That's during our incarnation here. We are working on our issues, on our fears, in our daily lives. And they're certainly going to come out during our OBEs or during altered states of consciousness, no matter what it may be.
By traveling in the astral plane, because that's what I'll call it, for lack of a better phrase, what does that do for us as human beings, William? I mean, does it make us more enlightened? Does it make us healthier? What does it do? I mean, what's the benefit here?
I think knowledge. Self-knowledge is really the key here that we're talking about. And I know for a fact that I started out back in 72 as an agnostic, and now I'm a knower. I know. I don't believe in God. I don't need to believe in anything. I know things from my experiences. And that's a powerful thing. Self-knowledge is what we're here for. Most people live their lives, George, with no concept of where they come from, where they're going, and what their purpose is here. It's sad. It's sad. And through OBEs, people can obtain those answers. Now, there's other ways to do this, too, through meditation. I'm not saying this is it. But this is a powerful way for people to experience their own immortality, to actually connect with the true essence of themselves. People can have profound spiritual experiences. But, you know, the Bible, for instance, is full of the saints, for instance, having incredible experiences beyond their physical body. You know, St. Paul talks about, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I was in the third heaven in 2 Corinthians. What is he talking about? I was in the third heaven. He didn't say heaven. He's in the third dimension of what he perceived as heaven. There's a lot of there's a lot of information about people leaving their body in the Bible that I write about.
Well, you,
and the Quran,
even,
by the way.
Well, was the resurrection an astral body experience?
It very possibly could have been. And I don't know for a fact, so it's, I hate to speculate, but it's very possible.
Some think also it might have been an extraterrestrial experience.
Yeah, some people do. I think it's more likely, though, he had met. Remember, what is a poltergeist or a ghost but someone who has taken his astral body and lowered his vibrational rate?
Right.
That's all that a ghost is. It's nothing weird or strange about it.
It's normal.
It's very normal. I'm surprised it doesn't happen all the time. And why couldn't have Jesus done the same thing and lower his vibrational rate of his astral body? He certainly was evolved enough to do that if it happens to ghosts. I mean, and to normal people, average people. A lot of the phenomena out there is explained very, very elegantly by this knowledge of out-of-body exploration in the multiple dimensions. And, you know, as you know from one of your guests coming up this week, that's what quantum physics now is into.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple dimensional theory is all the rage in modern physics. It explains the nature of the universe because matter cannot exist without a substructure. And the substructure is the astral plane and these other planes of existence. And that's what matter is built upon.
Do you think, William, the Mayans, they knew how to do this? The Egyptians, they knew how to do this?
Yes.
All civilizations?
The many people believe that the sarcophagus, this could get a little lengthy, but the sarcophagus, for instance.
Well, we only got 30 seconds. You want to wait until we come back?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Another one is the shaman from all around the world. Shaman have had all kinds of out-of-body experiences.
Who taught these people? I mean, here we were 2,000 years ago. How did they know this?
From experience. They knew, for instance, the Nazca lines. Many people believe that the Nazca lines, I've been there, were actually training grounds for shaman to leave their body.
Interesting. Stay with us. We'll talk about all that when we come right back with our guest, William Buhlman. And then at the top of the hour, guess what? Your turn, phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. If you can, William, tell us now about the sarcophagus and also the shamans and their relationship to OBEs.
Oh, absolutely. I went to Peru, it's been about 2 years ago now, and I did several ceremonies with. This is an authentic shaman. He speaks Spanish. And we did several ceremonies, including one in Machu Picchu. But one of the things that I, in getting to know him and through a translator, we went to the Nazca lines, which everybody has, you know, everybody's talking about, or has been talking about the mysterious lines. What do they mean? According to the shaman in Peru, which are really the indigenous knowledge that's there, they said that these circles, and of course many, like the monkey, there's a circle, there's many of these beings. What the shaman would do, they would have a sacred circle. And the students, let's say, so everyone knows what I mean, is in a circle, and they would induce an altered state of consciousness. The shaman would be in the middle often. The students would be in a circle around him. And often they would use, they would induce altered states of consciousness through drumming and also through indigenous plants like ayahuasca or San Pedro cactus.
Okay.
And then he would, in his training sessions, the students would leave their body and they would have to identify the figure below. And that's how he, in a sense, graduated his students. Now, this is what the shamans in Peru told me, that's what the Nazca circles were used for, the figures, the owl, the monkey's tail, many of these figures. They were actually used as training devices to show the master shaman that the students were progressing in their teaching.
Well, it was either UFO visitations or OBEs, and you've got a great theory here.
Well, it's not really a theory. It's based on what the shamans, the local people, told me it was used for. Now, nobody's written about this, really.
No, I haven't. Other than you telling me this, I've never heard of this before.
Everybody's talking about it from a Western perspective. And, you know, aliens are really kind of a Western idea in many ways.
So what they basically were doing is, because you can't see what these lines are on the ground.
No, no, you can't. This is it. The ceremonies are done at night, and they're huge.
So a student leaves and goes into their astral body, comes back and says, okay, I saw a picture of a monkey.
Right.
And they go, all right, that one passed.
Exactly. Okay. I know it sounds kind of strange, but that's exactly what the shamans in Peru told me they were used for. And it seemed to make sense to me, because remember, that's what the training was about. Entering into altered states of consciousness, leaving the body.
How could Eric Von Doniggan have missed this?
Because they're focused on physical phenomena only. All of these, most of these people and writers are totally obsessed with the physical. The answers are often not physical. And that's the big issue. And there was other training issues used. There was also, many people feel that the sarcophagus was used by ancient monks to induce an out-of-body experience or near-death experience by actually sealing them in the coffin till they begin to suffocate. Again, I have not talked to anybody in Egypt that verified that, but I know of people that feel strongly that that was what it was used for in some of the cults in ancient Egypt.
It was either you get out of this sarcophagus, tell us what you see or feel, or you're not getting out at all.
You know? Yeah, it's a pretty tough test.
Yeah.
But the Peruvian one, to me, makes perfect sense. When you look at the figures and in their culture, for instance, the alien that everybody says it looks like an alien from space.
Yes.
That's not an alien. It's an owl. In their culture, this is the shaman, by the way, when I asked him that, the shamans would laugh.
Oh, would they really?
They found that so amusing. They chuckled and chuckled. They thought that was so silly that somebody would think that was a spaceman.
Now, did they believe, in extraterrestrial visitations?
They believe, yes. By the way, they did.
Okay.
They don't call it extraterrestrial, but they do believe that there were star people that did visit their ancient people. Yes, they do.
Okay.
But they thought the power animal, the symbol of wisdom in ancient Peru, was the owl. And, of course, the condor is also another power animal. And that was an owl. That was actually portrayed, not a space guy, as many people say. According to shaman that I talked to,
the internet is fantastic for stuff like this. I've got one full screen of all the Nazca lines, and let's see here. I've got some of them are weird. One is obviously an insect.
There are many of them. There's a spider.
There's a spider. There's a monkey. There's a bird. There's...
Oh, and also the shaman told me that they would do the ceremony in the head or the body of the animal. In the round part is where they would do the ceremony.
There's an alien? No, I'm kidding.
If there's often a circle somewhere, and that's where the ceremony was done at night. There was often, you know, there's about a dozen students per shaman, or 10 students.
I haven't heard this before, but I could believe it.
Well, in a cultural context, it makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
Because you can't judge things based on our Western view of reality, and certainly based on our 20th century, 21st century view of reality. It has no reality. You know, let's face it, these lines were created 1,000 years ago.
Hey, here's a way to make everybody happy, William. The lines were made by extraterrestrials so Earthlings could practice OBEs. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Absolutely. But there is a long history of out-of-body exploration being part of ancient cultures, including the disciples of Jesus. St. Paul talks about OBEs. Revelations begins with, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and then this description. The Quran is basically the key point of the Quran. The heart of Islam is based on an out-of-body experience, the night journey of Muhammad, where he describes going through seven dimensions or heavens. And then he meets these strange creatures and angels and all this. But the bottom line is, he talks clearly about leaving his body and meeting these other dimensions. And then he goes to Mecca. Out of body, he goes to Mecca.
Are there some countries, people of those countries, more advanced than we are?
Some of the Buddhist monks that I've talked to, especially lately, I've spent some time lately in Buddhist cultures, especially Thailand, and they are more in tune with some of this. The problem is that everybody wraps knowledge in their own belief system, and it really shadows, or let's just say distorts the truth. That's why I try not to do that. I'm not a member of any organization or religion, because I feel strongly that it will distort my view of reality. We have to start observing reality as it truly is, try to take those tinted glasses off of us. And I'm talking about during altered states and out-of-body experiences. And this is a big problem out there. Everybody's writing about stuff, especially all this demon talk.
Yes.
It's your own fears. I know this for a fact, George. People are confronting their own fears, and it's scaring the living heck out of them. And because they don't have a handle on the truth of what it... How can you handle something when you don't acknowledge that it's coming from you? Everybody's so conditioned to believe that everything is external, that there's some force acting upon them. You know, to take this a step further, George, you know what's the most powerful thing that most people aren't aware of is that they create their own reality.
They surround themselves in it.
Yeah, but they don't see it. They don't understand they're creating their own dramas for their own lessons.
Maybe their own living hell, William.
And many of them do, but they don't see it, and you can't show it to them. I see it around me all the time, people doing, going through all kinds of drama and conflict.
Oh,
and
my gosh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. They're creating it themselves, and they can't see it.
Imagine
how fast this happens when you leave your body.
Can you leave your body if you've surrounded your physical self with negativity?
It's highly, most people that are totally, let's just use an example. If you have totally bought into the idea that the devil is out there and demons are going to attack you, the chances are you will not have a fully conscious out-of-body experience because your fears will block you. It's one of the things I really stress is being open-minded and getting over these fears. That is the big thing that we all confront. And the more that we can dissolve our own fears, the more the freer we are, physically and non-physically. It's really the key, one of the key things we were here to learn. And unfortunately, it's a slow process.
What do you say, though, to people who, to priests who perform exorcisms, and they say that they see pure evil? What do you tell them?
I don't know any personally. But I would say the same thing I just said, is that I personally feel that it is a manifestation of negative energy. That I am not saying, now let me clarify one thing, I'm not saying that there are very negative beings out there. There certainly are.
Absolutely.
I would never say but it doesn't mean I believe in some super devil or anything, whatever people call it. But I do believe there are negative, just like Hitler, like we discussed earlier, there are evil people, negative people, to the point of evil, that may try to influence others. That's true. I acknowledge that.
Right.
But I think it's a very rare event. There is an order to the universe, as much as people would hate to admit it, I think. There is. And we are overall creating our own reality and learning from our reality. You know, the Earth is really a slowed-down molecular training ground for soul. And our thoughts are creating our reality. That's one of the powerful things about self-initiating your own OBEs.
Do you think if more and more people practice OBEs, this planet overall would be better off?
Oh, absolutely. There'd be no war. Who would ever fight with another person? There'd be no war, there'd be no crime, because you realize that there is no escaping from your own actions. There's no shortcuts. If you harm another, it's energy. If any, in thought, word, or deed, it is energy projected that you will come back to you. And people that have OBEs connect with their energy. I'm talking about people not just have one experience and maybe get a little freaked by it,
right,
but people that pursue this as a path to self-knowledge.
Maybe we need to put government leaders in sarcophaguses and say, practice and get your OBE.
Well, there are easy ways to have tech. There are techniques that people can do and have the experience themselves, and then start to connect with what they truly are. It's a remarkable thing when you first feel yourself totally independent of your physical body. It's incredible. It's beyond my ability to express it, how liberating it is. Because suddenly all the old boogaboos of, you may have learned in religions, it's gone. It's no longer belief. You know. That's a powerful thing.
You mentioned one of the techniques for people, affirmation, takes about 4 weeks. What else could we do?
There's the visualization techniques. There's, I include 40 of them in my books. There's motion techniques you can do where as you go to bed, you imagine yourself, let's say, rocking, in a rocking chair, and you hold that rocking sensation as your last conscious thought. You can imagine yourself... Any kind of motion can initiate an out-of-body experience if you hold it as your last conscious thought and repeat it. Now, the key to doing this is to repeat it on a regular basis, and this is where many people fail. They give it a try for one night, and then they say, oh, this is just bull.
And then it's done. You're right.
And that's common. If people expect instant results. You know, Buddha didn't become a guru on one day sitting under a tree. I mean, you have to dedicate at least 30 to 60 days of daily practice. Now, but we're talking 20 minutes before you go to bed. We're not talking about going into a cave for 20 years.
Do you think some government leaders have practiced OBEs, they just don't tell us?
There's definitely been government programs that have, as you know,
yes.
Stargate and others, that have, let's just say, trained military personnel to have OBE-like experiences,
yes,
to spy on our perceived enemies.
And vice versa.
The Russians have done it. The Israelis have done it. During the Cold War, it was rampant, as we all know. The government spent at least $50 million in Maryland at one of the government installations, training people to initiate experiences that could observe remote locations. So, yes, there are... The government's, it's at least at some level, is fully aware of this.
In your personal experience, what was the most emotional OBE you ever had?
Oh my God, I've had some incredible experiences. Probably the most profound one is when I feel like my first profound one was when I met my mother face to face. That was back in the 70s. That blew me away completely. I mean, she was there. It wasn't any, it isn't like a psychic. It's face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
What's amazing is she was young, but I could recognize her from the energy of her voice.
Did she know you?
Yes. Oh, she was waiting for me.
Uh-huh.
She was, which is common. She was waiting for me to leave my body. And what was weird, I couldn't see her at first, and it kind of, to be honest, I was a little bit, not scared, but... uncomfortable because I couldn't tell who this was.
A little taken back.
And then suddenly she says my name, which is, she called me William, but it's a certain, but there was a tone, there was an energy to it. And my God, then it hit me, that's her. And then we hugged. Oh my God, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing experience. And she was about 25 years old with beautiful black hair. And that's the way she looked.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, that's the way she looks now, because I've had several experiences where I met her, and she lives in a row home on the what many people perceive. It sounds silly, but she took me in another experience. She actually took me to where she lives, and showed me the house that she currently resides in, and showed me all around. She has pictures, and it was amazing.
I mean, is it like they have a different life now?
Yes, they have a different life, but it's a perception of what they feel is their at life as it should have been.
So she's created this.
Yes. She always wanted this specific home that she never got. And she actually now lives in this home. And it's nothing. It's no mansion. It's a regular old... And that's what shocked me. It's, well, if you can create... I was thinking afterwards, if you can create anything, why don't you create a mansion?
Right. Make one of Saddam's castles or
something, but she lived in a row home, and next to her was her mother. Her grandmother lives next to her.
As you are talking to me right now, is your mother in a different astral plane doing whatever she's doing there?
Yes.
That is something.
She acts as a, as she actually has provided assistance to me on several occasions. I feel one time coming up from Florida, and now this sounds a little weird, I was falling asleep at the wheel on 95. Mm-hmm. I was driving all the way up to Maryland from Florida. I was in Virginia. And I was, just as I was about to, let's just say, fall asleep, I was slapped in the face, and it brought me back to consciousness. And just as I did that, I was weaving over the edge, and literally, there was a head-on collision by someone else, and missed the accident.
Oh.
And there was a fatality involved. I'll never forget this.
You would have been one of them.
I would have been. It would have been a three-car accident instead of a two. I swerved the wheel at the last minute, but I was slapped in the face as hard as I could be, and that was my mother.
My grandfather's clock was too large for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a penny weight more. It was bought on the morn of the day that he was born, and was always his treasure and pride. But it stopped short, never to go again, when the old man died. And my grandfather said that of those he could hire, not a servant so faithful he found. For it wasted no time, and it had but one desire, at the close of each week to be wound. And it kept in its place, not a frown upon its face, and its hands never hung by its side. But it stopped short, never to go again, when the old man died.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
That is our for departure had come. Still the clock.
One of the old classics from Johnny Cash. Our guest is William Buhlman, OBEs. Your phone calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, William Buhlman, our guest, your phone calls. William, before we take the calls, you've been in China about a year. Are you doing that because you're practicing more OBEs, or do you just like living out there?
No, actually, my wife was transferred there. She's she's with a large automotive company, and she's the launch manager for Asia.
General Motors is out there. You don't have to tell me, but... I study this stuff.
And there's 12 launches going on all over, so we get to travel. I'm kind of blessed. I get to travel all over the world, literally.
Do you like Shanghai, China?
Oh, I love it. Shanghai is wonderful.
How do they treat Americans out there?
There's a lot. Shanghai is almost 20 million people. It's incredibly large. It's very diverse. It's very modern, too. A lot of people have some They have these strange thoughts of China. You know, you think of it third world. Well, Shanghai is not. Shanghai is very modern.
Do they like us out there?
They like Americans. I don't know how to say this delicately. The one people I know do not like Japanese too much.
They do not.
No, I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but they do not. They like Americans a lot. They love our culture. McDonald's is everywhere. Everybody has jeans and dressing like we would. And they seem to love our music and our culture in general.
I heard they don't know how to drive cars very well out there.
No, it's pretty dangerous. I've been in some awful situations. I don't drive, but there's 100,000 fatalities in China.
You mean you don't drive out there?
No, I don't drive in China. Right? We have a driver, and
okay.
Believe me, you ever come to visit, I'll take you for a drive. And it will scare the living heck out of you.
Oh, that's all I need. I'll be practicing OBEs.
Yeah, you'll have an OBE just driving in the car.
Probably. When you look at that, I don't want to dwell on China here. I want to get to these phone calls. But when you look at China and what's happening, I mean, would you ever see us going to war with them?
I hope not. Believe me, that's a constant issue because of Taiwan, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, there's always this. I hope the United States is not that stupid, because we can't win. China has become very, very powerful.
What do you mean we can't win? Stalemate, you mean?
I don't think we could. We can't beat them in a military conflict.
Well, unless we bring out everything.
And they have everything, too.
Well, that's true. So,
we can't win. So the idea of fighting them is just as silly as trying to fight the Russians.
So no one fights.
You can't. You can't. I hope the cooler heads prevail, because the whole thing, you know, Taiwan is part of China. It is. Historically, it just is, just like Hong Kong was.
Oh, you sound like a booster for the Chinese. No,
well, I'm not at all, but I do respect, I've heard both viewpoints.
We are doing some other different shows along the line. I got to get you back on when we talk about China. And its
influence. I'd love to, because I have a lot of information about it.
You'd bring a different perspective, and you might be part of a roundtable discussion, but that would be good to have that side.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic, because they're the new power. They are it.
No doubt about that. And you know what? We created it.
Yes, yes. We have a $1 trillion deficit, and they have a $1 trillion in the black.
All right, let's go to the phones. OBEs tonight, Wild Card Line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, this is Margaret from Amarillo, Texas.
Yeah, hello, Margaret.
And I sure do agree with what William has been saying. And I meditate just about every day and go through the multiple dimensions. And they have been explained to me. The ancients called them the earth, water, air, and fire. And my guide said the earth is, we compare it with H2O. The earth is like the ice. The astral is like the liquid. And the soul is like the steam. And then the spirit is like the heat or the fire that changes the vibrations of the different levels.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's very much in keeping with the shamanic teachings of they have the four directions and etc. But it's very in tune with what the Peruvian shaman would say, which is interesting.
Okay, thanks for that call, Margaret, and your insight. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Where are you calling from?
My name is Christine. I'm calling from Toronto.
Toronto. Okay, great.
Okay, I have a couple of questions for William.
Sure, he's there.
I sort of have these OBE things, but I have them like all the time, and I want to know how to stop them.
Okay.
Because I'm one of these people that I am kind of nervous about it, but I don't have to try to have them. I mean, they like happen to me like 4 and 5 times a night.
Okay, one way to stop it is just to focus on, for instance, a physical part of yourself. If you're having, for instance, if you're entering do you get the vibrational state?
Yeah, I get all that, and then I sort of have to, like, will myself to stay in my body. I know it sounds weird, but
no,
I have to fight them all the time because I don't want to leave my body. Do you know what I mean? So I'm wondering, like, what makes somebody more prone to them than somebody else?
I believe a lot of it is past training. I think you've had past lives where you've had training, and let's just say possibly as a monk.
As a
where
monk?
You have opened yourself to have this experience.
But can I ask you one more thing? There was one time that it did happen, and I did sort of leave my body, even though I was trying not to, and I had to, like, will myself back in, kind of. But I wanted to ask you this. Is there a crackling sound that happens when you separate, when you're separated?
Yes.
Because I heard that in my head.
Yes, it's a crackling sound. It can be a buzzing sound, humming or roaring. All of the above can happen. I've had crackling sounds myself. It's like an electrical sensation.
Well, I know about the electrical humming and buzzing and stuff, but when I actually started to lift out, I could hear like a crackling as I was separating. I could hear a crackling sound, and I wasn't sure if that was normal part of it.
It's very, very normal. Very normal. There's all kinds of, remember, you're interpreting these sounds also.
So there's no way I can stop.
They're vibrational shifts.
Right.
Have you read any information on this topic?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've read a lot, and I know a lot about it, and I believe in it and everything, but I'm kind of scared to be out of my body. It's not that I don't believe in it, but I just don't want to do it. But it keeps happening. Like, I mean, literally, it's been going on for about 5 years, like four or five times a night.
Well, I tell you, you know, your higher part of yourself is telling you something. That you're... I find that I would explore it further personally, but if you feel that way, if you absolutely feel you're not ready for it at this point, then focus on your finger, for instance.
Mm.
Anytime you enter the vibrational state, focus on your finger and it will immediately stop the vibrational state.
On your finger? Oh, okay.
In other words, any body part. You're grounding yourself into matter.
Is that how that works?
Yes. The same. I teach children about that. A lot of people... have their children having spontaneous OBEs and they want to stop because the children are too young to handle it in their mind. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think children are very much having the experiences and they're open to it, but some people feel that it's too intense. So I tell them the same thing. Have the child focus on their finger, and it will stop the separation.
I've had calls from people on this program, William, where they feel the bed vibrating.
Yes.
Does this have anything to do with OBEs?
That's exactly it. That's the vibrational state. Sometimes it'll feel that the whole darn room's shaking. I've had people write to me and said they thought they were in an earthquake, and of course it wasn't an earthquake. It was the vibrational state. These states can be very intense. I've had them where I felt like I was in the middle of a jet engine.
My gosh.
You feel like you're being torn apart. And, of course, it's because you're lingering. A lot of the negativism that people experience in OBEs is because they're fighting it. And they're in an in-between state. They're like semi out of their body, and they're experiencing the vibrational state for maybe a minute or longer, which is very disorienting. And the key to this is to focus your attention away from your body, and that will initiate the separation process, because after you're fully separated, then everything becomes like ice. It's very quiet, very still. It's only during the separation process of the vibrational state where you experience all these intense energy sensations that we've been discussing during the show.
Here she is having many. Most people don't have any.
Yes, and she's you're obviously very open to it. You can remember there's incredible things you can do when you're out. You can demand to experience your higher self, for instance. You can call it what you will, soul, higher self, God, anything, any term that you use, it means the highest aspect of yourself. And you can literally have some of the most profound experiences of your life. And sometimes when that experience is, once you have that experience, you no longer need to go through this daily experience. I know I've been there, where every night it's happening and happening and happening. And, of course, I enjoy it. But I know there's a lot of people that find it's too intense.
Well, maybe because they don't understand it, William.
Or it's just, George, it does get intense.
Believe it does.
And it's sometimes you feel like you just want a good night's sleep.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
This is Jay. I'm in Thailand.
Oh, hi, Jay. Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is something that I have a question that I've been... I get through my out-of-body experience, actually, by accident. I meditate a lot, and I would get to a certain point where my body, I would go through that vibration and not want to go any further, so I would come back. One day I decided, well, I'm just going to go beyond this and see what happens. And all of a sudden, I raised my foot, and I went to let it down, let gravity bring it down, and it stayed up. And I noticed my arms, the same thing, but kind of a blue electrical glow around my body. And came back, and no problem. And then a few days later, went hit the same point in my meditation where my body was vibrating, and I was out for quite a bit. I felt like I could get up, I could move around. And then I came back to come to, or when I did come to, I noticed my arms were asleep. And, I had the tingling. It's like the blood had stopped moving in my body. And it scared me. I'm afraid to go back and do it again.
Huh. So what's happening here, William?
Well, there's several things. First, the experience you had is very normal. I think what's number one, you're not separating completely. This is, again, what I related to earlier. Often you enter the vibrational state. And the key here is to focus your attention away from your body completely so you initiate total separation.
And I did have separation. Now, I felt myself roll out of the body, if that makes any sense
yes.
at all. And I felt separate. I've done this about five or six times, and I decided this one time I'm going to get up, I'm going to move across the room, I'm going to look, I'm going to see. And it was like a little bit of a different dimension. And then when I went to say, okay, it's like when I meditate, I want to wake up, I snap, and I'm not awake, but I mean, I come back immediately. This takes like maybe 2 seconds longer, 3 seconds longer. But this particular time, I couldn't move my arms, and it was like if you fell asleep on your arm and your blood didn't get through. And it frightened me a bit.
For how long?
I don't know, should I continue?
Because sometimes it takes me 30 seconds to connect, but you feel like you're out of sync, let's say. It's probably the most accurate way to put this, for 30 seconds, and I can't move. Sometimes it's a minute. I just relax and let myself kind of meld together. That's what I do, and that's what I tell others to do. I don't try to rush
it. The heartbeat slow down?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, you're in a trance state, essentially. What would be perceived as a trance state or a deep meditation?
Okay. All right.
So you're definitely going to have all your bodily functions are slowing down. So, of course, your blood flow is slowing down. So I wouldn't be too concerned about it. It's not that unusual. I often cannot move my body for 30 seconds to a minute.
Okay. Anyway, I appreciate the answer. I have nobody over here who could answer for me. And first time I tried to call and I got through, so I figured somebody wanted me to get the answer. So
great.
All right, thank you for calling from Thailand. Appreciate
sure.
it. We get calls from all over the place, William. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Hi, George. I'm calling from Carbondale, Colorado, right in the middle of the Rockies.
And you are on.
And I would like to share two short stories in a statement, if I could.
All right. Well,
first story is a pet dog I had. We got it when I was 1 year old. It was very close to us. We played with it a lot. And it died when I was 13, and I didn't think nothing else of it. Now I live in Carbondale. I have a cat, and when I go to bed, the cat comes to bed with me usually, but sometimes she'll mill around the house a little bit. I feel her jump on the bed, and I reach to pet her, and there's nothing there. I feel all over the bed, and she's not around. And I just realized that it may be my pet dog that died, Heidi, when I was 13.
Absolutely.
I just, you mean, when you said it tonight, it just all clicked together. That's my dog.
Absolutely. Because the dog isn't dead. Nothing.
Right, exactly.
And that's people have a tough time with this. Nothing dies.
Right.
In World War II, no one died. And people freak out sometimes when I say this. They change their energy frequency, but no one died. And that's the beauty of this of our universe.
Right.
It's a training ground.
And
yes, your dog is dogs and cats are very attached to their pets. I still have one that hangs around me.
Yeah, this is great. I didn't realize it was Heidi still.
And what's even more amazing,
if
you control your experience, you can actually meet your pet again during an OBE.
Well, I haven't been doing any OBEing at all, except for one, and this kind of just happened. I didn't even try. It was right after a traumatic experience with a bad person, a bad relationship with a woman, and I was very young, very naive, and this was really wild because it's just like that night I went to bed, I prayed in Jesus' name, and then when I fell asleep, I shot straight up into the sky, going flying through clouds, and then stood face to face with Christ, only momentarily, and he had his hand on my face, and there was a sharing his love, and I can only handle so much. It was just intense, intense love. And then, bam, I was back in my bed. The bed shook, and I woke up, and I was like, I was fully awake, and I was like, whoa.
What happened? William, I have not heard you speak spiritually tonight. Is there a reason for that?
I think I'm always speaking spiritually. I just don't put it in a context of a religion.
Aha.
There's a big difference. I think everything is interpreted. I think this is a key point, George, too. I talk about our higher self. Many people will experience, and I'm very open-minded to all religions. And many people, for instance, when they have a higher self experience, will come face-to-face with whatever being that they perceive as holy. For instance, they may meet Jesus. They may meet Muhammad. They may meet Krishna, depending on their culture. And this is, I feel, and I know some people will not disagree, but this is, you're actually confronting your higher self.
William, let's talk about the books before we finish up with our phone calls. Where can people get them?
Well, I have books available and training CDs and tapes that assist people to actually go through techniques. And they're available on my websites, outofbody.com. And also Astral Info. I also have we were running a special of a free CD with any purchase over $40. And we have an order line of the numbers 248-909-8895.
That's in Southfield, Michigan.
Yes, yes. It's a Mach 1 Audio. It takes care of my product line for me. And that's one of our order lines. One of the best ways, of course, is to just go on the websites and explore the topics. We have a lot of information. We have a forum, too, that's very popular. I think listeners would be interested. It doesn't cost anything at all, and people just go to the forum and discuss their OBEs. There's a chat room also that people have, that where people can go and discuss various issues related to OBEs. And I believe, I forget the number, but there's a couple thousand people on it on a regular basis, I believe. I don't keep up with it because I'm in China. But it's been very popular over the years, and it's a lot of good information, people sharing and helping others. So I really recommend that to anybody listening, is to check it out for yourself. Just go to the website, which is at coast to coast.
You got it.
And log on.
All right. Let's go back to the phones now, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. This is Becky from Fort Wayne, and I'm wondering if it's possible to have an OBE with untreated sleep apnea.
I'm not an expert on the topic of the sleep. There's several different kinds of sleep disorders, but I tell you the truth, I don't know for sure. That's why I hate to just pop out an answer here.
Well,
but
a lot
I can
of people
you,
with sleep apnea snore. It's
I don't see where that would be a big, it would be a detriment, certainly, because it would be a grounding because of the snoring.
Yeah.
Many people, by the way, have found help with melatonin in various sleep disorders. I don't know, have you tried that?
Oh, well, yeah, I seem to have some bad side effects from it, but...
Makes you dream wild dreams, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
No, it gives me... Melatonin gives me headaches.
Does it? Okay.
Oh, that's kind of unusual, because, you know, it's a natural hormone.
But I would guess with sleep disorders, it would make it more difficult for an OBE.
Yes, it would, because you're physically waking yourself up all the time with the physical phenomena.
Thanks for that call. Wildcard Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Patrick from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, Patrick. Go ahead.
I've never had an OBE, but I swear I can feel my bed vibrating within a minute or so of starting to listen to a 7.83 hertz binaural beat sine wave encoded in a brown noise carrier with a program that I wrote. And it seems to be somewhat specific to that frequency. And my question is, why so quickly at 7.83 hertz Schumann resonance?
Well, that's as you know that there's a lot of research into binaural beats. I incorporated binaural beats in my my CDs that I offer. I do a range of frequencies in my products, and different people, by the way, respond to different frequencies. I can only say that is your particular frequency that you should work with. Some people respond to a lower and a slightly higher one. For instance, mine seems to be around 4.9. There's been a lot of research about it. This is a big topic, by the way, and I don't want to. We could spend an hour talking about this one. It's good that you found the frequency that affects you, and I would work with it to help initiate an OBE. Use the binaural beats with one of the techniques I write about. And I think you're going to find results coming very quickly.
Okay, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is David. I'm from Indianapolis.
Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I've got a question for Bill. I've actually been to one of his workshops.
Excellent.
Which is a lot of fun. I wondered, Bill, when you're doing these, when you try to leave your body with one of your techniques, how often do you succeed, 100% of the time or 90%? How does that work?
I don't know anybody that succeeds 100%. For that matter, there is no standard. And now if you're just asking me personally,
yeah, you
it varies depending on my state of consciousness and how busy I am. I would say realistically, it's probably about 25%.
Okay.
And maybe 20%, depending on how physically active I am. Your external life definitely has an impact on your experiences. For instance, if you're experiencing, you're going through a stressful event in your life, the chance of having one for many people is diminished. Where in other people, if they're sick, it may increase the percentages of it happening. The point is to be consistent here. And to do a technique, if you're serious about exploring this, then do it every day. And it's just like meditation. It's the more you do it, the more you condition yourself to be open to the experience. And that's what's truly important.
Well, I do affirmations before I go to sleep every night. And it depends on, sometimes I fall asleep very quickly. Sometimes I'll stay awake and I'll try to do this visualization you were talking about?
Yes.
And then I get bored of that, and so then I try to do this rocking. I think of rocking in a boat. But I switch just sort of on a whim. Is that good or bad?
It's better to stay with one. And if you're bored, for instance, if the visualization gets boring, then increase the complexity of the visualization.
Okay.
Instead of visualizing four objects that you're walking. Now remember, make these... As you know, if you attended my workshop, you know that you should be, these are real objects you should be focusing upon, not imaginary.
Right.
They should be objects, for instance, increase the complexity, make it an entire room. Let's say you're in bed and visualize your entire living room. another key point I like to get out to the audience is that the worst place for many people to have an OBE is in the bed. We are conditioned to sleep in bed, and unfortunately in our society that means unconsciousness. The best way to initiate an OBE is to go to your couch or to designate an area.
And it should be quiet, no TV, nothing like that.
Exactly.
What about what you eat before you do this?
I have found no correlation in what you eat and your experience. I have had OBEs on empty stomachs and any kind of variation, and I know of others that have. Now, on the flip side, if you believe that you have to be a vegetarian to have an OBE, then you have made it so in your own life. You've created mental limits for yourself. So it's really your beliefs that will impact it more than your diet.
You know, what I do right now, it's real strange, but I do these affirmations before I go to sleep, and nothing happens. I wake up in the morning, and I wash up, and I maybe eat some breakfast, and then I just lay down. Then I start vibrating. I do this almost every morning.
Well, then I would do the early morning technique that I talk about in the workshops and in my books. For instance, I'd like to share this quickly, George,
sure,
if we have
please.
Time.
Yes.
This is a powerful technique. You set the alarm for approximately 3 to 4 hours after you fall asleep, which is ends up being about 2 REM periods. Then you get up, and I know this is not the easiest thing for some people, but you get up and move to the couch. And then you start your technique. You have interrupted your REM period. And then you move to a new location, you place your intention on having an out-of-body experience, and then you focus 100% on it while you're on the couch. And the increased percentages are significant. You know, no one has done a study on this, a scientific study, but I would say you are at least doubling your chances of having an out-of-body experience at night by doing this.
Well, those are pretty good odds.
I call it the early morning technique, and I write about it in Adventures Beyond the Body. But it's very simple. It's just a matter of having the willpower to get up after 4 hours and move into the couch.
Thanks for the call. Wildcard line, it's your turn.
Hi there. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello there, Al. Go ahead.
Yeah, truck driver coming across Nebraska tonight. And I had some experiences earlier in my life. I talked to George Joe several months ago about a fiance that I'd lost in a car accident. And I'd begun to search to try and find a way to cross over to say goodbye to her and all. And I run across the out-of-body experience book where this guy had talked about him doing it. And when you get to that point of the vibrations, I guess, you reach out with your arm and touch the wall. And all this stuff I had tried and was never successful until I actually got locked up in jail. And I'm not sure if it was the desire to be free that compounded, I guess, maybe it was slept all the time. And I got so rested that, you know, and then so bored. I would just lay there and close my eyes. And the very first one that I had that was really traumatic, you know, there was people in the cell. I left it in a whole different setting, you know, than I was in. I had created a mountain scene. And I remember one of the things that he had said in this book was, you know, you control everything mentally. If you want to go up, think up. And I remember thinking up, and it's like a super fast elevator ride.
Yeah.
And I just rocketed. Well, then I thought down, and then I just dropped. All of a sudden, it was like, then I kind of got scared and freaked out a little bit, and at the last moment, thought, stop. And I stopped right next to the ground. And I guess my question at the moment is, do you feel that mentally, you know, being bounded, like incarcerated, If that makes a difference of a desire to actually be free?
Yes, it sure does. I get a lot of mail from prisoners. Matter of fact, I devoted about 3 or 4 pages to prisoners' experiences because I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of them. Matter of fact, I've been asked to, on several occasions, I've been asked to speak at prisons. there's a lot of interest in this, and that's because of that. There's a definite strong motivation. Let's face it, it's escapism from the prison situation, and it's a big motivator. And a lot of people are having incredible experiences from prison.
Have you ever had an OBE, William, and you couldn't get back? It was scary and you couldn't get back?
No. You think of your body and your back. I have never run into that ever. And I've had a tremendous amount of experiences in diverse situations, and I've always been able to come right back.
Is it in an instant you're back?
Instant. You think of your... Matter of fact, the problem, George, is the opposite. We're so conditioned to believe that we are this temporary body that we have a tendency to think of our body when out of body, and we flip back. Or it's like you're snapped back to the body. You have to train yourself not to think of your body or the sensations associated with the body. I go into this detail in workshops that I do.
And where are your next workshops, by the way?
Italy. I'm doing two in Italy, Rome and Milan, north of Milan. It's my fourth year there. They're excellent, excellent place to go for it. And then I'm doing, by the way, I have an interpreter. Italy's really coming on strong. It's surprising. I have big crowds attend.
They understand this?
Oh, yeah. Well, my book's in eight languages.
Okay.
So I do workshops all over. I'm doing one in Thailand. I have interpreters. Right now it's taken off in Germany. Then I'm doing one in Michigan. I don't do as many in the States because of the flight situation. It's like a 20-hour flight.
Well, that's a long time.
Yeah, I'm in the States right now visiting my sons.
Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George, Mr.
Yeah.
Bowman.
Good morning.
John calling from
Pine
Top.
Sure thing, John.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm calling from Pine Top, Arizona, listening to you on the net from Boise, Idaho.
Right.
It was a good segue. I've been having sleep paralysis since I was a child, 5-6 years old, pretty much nightly. As I've been older, it's decreased, but somebody told me once to go with it. It's the OBE gateway, as it were.
Yes.
And I did. And what happened is it was really weird. I was felt like I was in this void, hurtling at an increasing velocity and losing a complete sense of self. And if you know, people with sleep paralysis have a hard time sometimes, like just moving one finger and you're out of it, it's okay. And this was, man, I don't know how long it took me to get back to be able to sit up in bed, but I was drenched in sweat, and I just wondered if you could give me any help there.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what used to happen to me in the early 70s when I was, let's just say, I was still learning. It's very common. You're still stressed out about the whole damn thing, let's face it. The more you do it, and I know this sounds simplistic, but it's really true, the more experiences you have, the calmer you become during the experiences, and your body doesn't react so aggressively to the experience. When you're mentally going through trauma, your body's reacting to it. By trauma, I mean anything that's you perceive as a threat or strange. And that's what happened to me for probably the first 7 years. I would have experiences just like that. And two, I became more and more accustomed to them, and now I don't have any kind of physical reaction to it at all. But, I mean, that's just the reality of it. Everybody's different, too. Some people have an extreme physical reaction to their experiences, and many people, by the way, have no physical reaction to it. So, but, again, what you're experiencing is very common. But you're not going to be harmed by it. It's just a new adventure, and let's face it, it's thrilling and exciting and a little bit scary because it's new.
We are out of time, William. I want you to get that number out again. Now, is that for your books or just the tapes?
Books and tapes. It's 248-909-8895. And, of course, the website is outofbody.com or astralinfo.org.
Can you get the two books on Amazon.com yet?
Oh, yeah, sure. They've been there for years. Yeah, they're at Amazon, and they're in Secret of the Soul, I believe. They're in most of the major bookstores also.
Very good. Thanks, William. You take care, and I'm going to try the techniques. Maybe you can get me to do this again.
Oh, absolutely. Just do it for 30 days.
All right. I'll try. Thanks, William.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate you being on the program.